Good morning, John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Joy Cardine Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, there's been a lot in the news over the last 6 months about the University of Wisconsin system and the budget proposal by the governor, the budget action on the part of the legislature. But that news has focused pretty much, at least here in the state of Wisconsin, on immediate effects and on what people are saying inside the state about the university and its future. This hour, we're going to maybe take a look at this from a different perspective. What's the long-term public relations effect? How does this affect the image of the UW, perhaps Wisconsin's second most easily identifiable brand after perhaps the Green Bay Packers? What does this do to our image in the rest of the country and the rest of the world? So we're going to talk about that this hour with you and with our guest, Tom Plager, who is president of Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. He served as campus executive officer and dean of the UW-Baraboo Sauk County, also held positions at UW-Marinette, UW-La Crosse, UW-Madison, and UW-Fox Valley. President Plager, welcome to the Joy Cardine Show.
Good morning, and thank you. It's an honor to be on the show, and appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and your listeners.
So, we've done a lot of programs, Joy Cardine and the other talk shows that we have here on the Ideas Network, and we've had a lot of news coverage. Sean Johnson has been following this in the state capitol about the $250 million cut that the Committee on Joint Finance imposed on the university. That was $50 million less than what the governor had asked for. The public authority the governor had asked for didn't make it through joint finance, but the Joint Finance Committee removed tenure and governance from state statutes. So that's kind of the background for this. Your concern, and you look at this from outside the system these days, your concern is about the public relations damage that you say these changes are having on the UW system. How bad do things look from your perspective?
Well, the University of Wisconsin system is an unusual system. There isn't any other public university system structured quite like it in the country. It's the only one, to my knowledge, that has an extension that's statewide. It has 26 campuses, 13 two-year liberal arts campuses, two doctorals, and then 11 comprehensives. And what makes it particularly different from other university systems is its governance structure. It's the only system in the country where its governance and the rules for governing the system are in state law. And it's a system that many states have looked at as a model for how they would like to develop their university systems. In fact, I'm in the process of working with our faculty and staff to develop a shared governance model that is borrowing some of the concepts from the University of Wisconsin system's shared governance. So changes to this are of national news to folks in higher ed, because Wisconsin has been held up as really the primary example of how an inclusive shared governance structure can run a university system in terms of input from a community perspective. And it hasn't been tinkered with to this magnitude since its formation in the 1970s.
That's been a major piece of the controversy here. And a lot of people are saying, well, the shared governance, you know, the inmates are running the asylum. That's actually one of the problems with the UW, is that faculty and staff have too much control over what administrators do, and that prevents the university from operating as efficiently as it should.
Well, the universities are different than businesses. Granted, they have to be efficient and be stewards of taxpayer money, but they're communities. The name college itself refers to a collegial grouping of shared disciplines, and universities are groups of colleges. So unlike other types of businesses, universities have professional thinkers at their core, the faculty. And Wisconsin, in the 1970s, when Governor Lucy knit the University of Wisconsin campuses together with the Wisconsin State Universities, created a new system where faculty, staff, and the legislature and the public were involved in developing Chapter 36, which laid out this governance structure, and it's worked exceptionally well, I think, in terms of it's an asset. It's attracted people to Wisconsin, to the university system. It's slower, than a top-down system, but it produces better results, and I think it's in tradition or in accordance with Wisconsin's progressive thinking and the evolution of its university system. So I think that's what's really a concern. If this kind of change could happen in Wisconsin, it could happen around the country, and so people are watching this very closely in higher ed.
Okay, so, I mean, we talk about this as having a negative public relations effect on the university's image elsewhere outside the state of Wisconsin. So who exactly, though, are we marketing the UW to? I mean, are we talking about students, potential faculty, other universities? Who is it that is, where's this effect going to be felt?
I think all of those groups. The University of Wisconsin system recruits students from all over the world, as well as faculty from all over the world. I think that the primary news or the primary focus of the news has been on faculty and administrators from other states looking at Wisconsin and quite puzzled by how can a state with such a great university system that's known throughout the world A, make substantial cuts to it, and B, change its governance structure, create this kind of national controversy around its university. So this will have a significant impact on the entire system's ability to recruit faculty, and it will also result, I suspect, in other institutions stepping up their interest in recruiting faculty from and administrators and staff from Wisconsin, and not just Madison, but across the board. In our searches here at Lake Superior State University, we've hired a number of University of Wisconsin staff and administrators. University of Wisconsin faculty are showing up in our searches. And I know talking to my other colleagues in Michigan, other presidents, they are also seeing a greater number of Wisconsin applicants. And I suspect universities around the country are looking at Wisconsin as a primary place to recruit talent from.
So why should an incoming freshman care about shared governance?
Well, shared governance, if you look at Chapter 36, and I encourage your listeners to just do a web search on Chapter 36, University of Wisconsin System, and you can see the state statute that governs the whole system. It's really well thought out, defines the mission, then establishes the various powers and decision-making processes within the University of Wisconsin system. And if you look at the shared governance component, it lays out the roles of the faculty, the academic staff, and the students. And the faculty are given the primary responsibility for academic and educational activities and faculty personnel matters. The students are responsible for overseeing policy development of the institution that relates to students, as well as the distribution of fees. So not only do these changes impact faculty and staff, they impact the student representation within the University of Wisconsin system. And students should be concerned about that. They should also be concerned about the potential departure of top faculty and the ability to recruit top faculty and staff to the university system.
What's the message that the governor and the legislature are sending to the rest of the nation with the changes that they have made?
Well, I think it depends on who you are and what your beliefs are around tenure and how universities should be run. But certainly from the academic community, this is raising national and international attention of people watching very closely if Chapter 36 is removed from state statute, which it has been, and is somehow substituted with regent policy, which is more common. Wisconsin's the only university system in the country that has its governance and its operational procedures codified in state law. If those changes are moved or the ability is given to the regents to make those changes, what will they look like and how different will they be from this long tradition of shared governance? I can tell you an interesting comment that I remember years ago when we hired a new chancellor in the University of Wisconsin Colleges and Extension, and he made a comment to me coming from elsewhere that shared governance is in the water in Wisconsin, and that reflects just how strong that tradition is. So changing it is something that people are concerned about, and it sends a message to the rest of the country and to the rest of the academic world that suggests Wisconsin is not pleased with its university system or perhaps not proud of it, when I think it's one of the greatest assets that Wisconsin has, and as you mentioned, one of the most recognizable brands that Wisconsin has that stands for quality and academic freedom and research and world-class facilities and educational opportunities.
We're talking about the long-term effects to the UW system of the changes that have been proposed and are presumably about to be made when the budget is signed and by the governor and goes into effect. What that's going to do to the UW's image elsewhere. Tom Plager is my guest. He's president of Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Wondering what you think. I mean, do you think this is going to hurt the UW's reputation, or maybe you're not concerned about that, and you don't think it'll have any effect on the UW's future? If you work at the UW, how do you feel about all this? Or do you support the changes, including removing tenure from state law and making it easier for tenured faculty to be dismissed? Let us know at 800-642-1234. We'll take a break for news and be right back. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. Changes at the UW passed by the legislature are doing damage to the UW's reputation across the country. So says my guest, Tom Plager, president of Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. He also served as a campus executive officer and dean of the UW-Baraboo Sauk County and held positions at UW-Marinette, UW-La Crosse, UW-Madison, and UW-Fox Valley. Wondering what you think of all of this as people who live in the state of Wisconsin. Perhaps you should probably have some say in this matter. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can post your comment or question on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or send us an email, talk@wpr.org. We have a comment from Lynn on Facebook. Lynn writes, I was watching a city council meeting at my daughter's home in Illinois. A student received an engineering award and was going to UW-Milwaukee, but with the $3,000 tuition increase per year for out-of-state students, he will be studying engineering at the University of Illinois. So with another budget cut in the pipeline, we're looking at probably at some point increased tuition to make up for some of that. How's this going to affect the university's ability to attract top students?
Well, I believe tuition will be frozen in this biennium, and that's for domestic students or just students in-state, but out-of-state tuition is going to go up as a result of these cuts, and that certainly will make the University of Wisconsin system less attractive and less affordable to out-of-state students. And also, my understanding is that graduate tuition is expected to go up and professional school tuition, so recruiting from outside of state will be more challenging because other institutions have either kept their tuition flat. Our campus has actually reduced out-of-state tuition here at Lake Superior State to attract students from out-of-state. So the budget impact is significant for the immediate future for out-of-state students, but long-term it's going to have a dramatic impact on in-state students. Either tuition will have to go up or there will have to be substantial reductions in staffing. That's where most of the University of Wisconsin system's budget is housed, is in personnel, in order to keep tuition affordable. And some scholars that are interested in tuition across the country have argued that this two-year freeze will eventually have to be followed by significant increases in tuition. And I think the number of folks are worried about that and what the impact will be in terms of affordability in Wisconsin.
Of the changes that are being proposed, the budget cut, the removal of the shared governance and tenure language from statute, which of these is potentially the most damaging to the UW's image?
Well, I think the tenure issue has gained the most national attention. The shared governance issue is something that I see as particularly troubling because this has worked very well. And the question is, why is it changing and why does it have to change so fast without public input? And why is it being pushed to the authority of the regents who are political appointees? And we have a relatively new group of regents in place, and how will that work out? But the tenure changes and are significant. The current statute, Chapter 36, reads that any person having tenure may be dismissed only for just cause and only after due notice and hearing. the change now, or the proposed change, would allow for dismissal due to discontinuance or curtailment, modification, or redirection of resources, or when a financial emergency exists. So that's a significant change in the way the university has operated, and I think that's gaining a lot of attention. That has faculty very concerned. The regents have pledged that tenure will be retained, but we're looking at some new policy that's unknown, and will that policy change over time is a big question. Will it change when there are new board members in place? And does this allow faculty to be let go because they're in a program that's unpopular or teaching ideas that may not fit with the current political views of the leadership of the state? That's of great concern, and that's generating a lot of interest around the country as this is being launched.
Well, I mean, there's a significant body of thought out there that this tenure is nonsense. The average person doesn't get tenure in their job. I mean, if you work at a local retail establishment, you're an at-will employee, and you could walk into work in the morning and someone could say you're done. And there doesn't seem to be a real great deal of sympathy for UW faculty. In fact, here's a comment from Dan on Facebook, I think, and I see a lot of this on social media and in news reports, and the narrative about this is full of messages like this. But Dan says, recover, we're just getting back to common sense. No one deserves a job for life by working part-time for 3 to 5 years and only teaching liberal leftist junk that has failed time and time again. Regardless of what you might think about Dan's point of view, that's out there. And the perception is, oh, faculty don't work very much, and then they get a job for life. I mean, gosh, I'd like a gig like that.
Well, I'm following these comments, and I think a lot of this reflects a misunderstanding of what tenure is. Tenure exists to protect ideas, and Wisconsin has been at the forefront throughout its history of being a progressive state. It's used the university's expertise to explore topics and set social policy and government policy in the state, although there's less of that happening now in terms of using the university as a source of expertise for shaping policy in Wisconsin. But tenure exists for academic freedom to make certain that ideas and concepts can be explored and taught, that someone cannot be dismissed simply because they're teaching an idea that is not in sync with the current political leadership or direction that government has in the state or perhaps even in the university. And tenure, universities are not like other institutions or the private business sector. First, most faculty go to school for at least a decade to earn the highest degree possible in their field, and they're on probation for 6 years and must go through a series of steps to gain tenure, and not all faculty do receive tenure, and then there are post-tenure reviews. Could post-tenure reviews be more rigorous or have some modification to them? I think that's worth exploring, but I would certainly argue that my experience of 20 years in the University of Wisconsin system, that faculty are not lazy. They're extremely productive. Wisconsin has some of the most productive scholarship faculty and teaching faculty in the country, and that's why other institutions are interested in recruiting faculty from the University of Wisconsin system, because of that national reputation.
Rebecca Blank, who's the chancellor at UW-Madison, says, whoa, wait a minute, let's not panic about this tenure thing. The regents have committed themselves to retaining tenure as part of university policy. And let's not get hysterical. She's already seeing what she calls poaching of UW-Madison faculty from elsewhere. You alluded to that earlier in the conversation. There is one of the pieces of the discussion is, okay, so it's not enshrined in state statute anymore. The Board of Regents can still preserve tenure at the system level and have said that they would in fact do so. Chancellor Blank is saying, hey, let's not panic here. This isn't the disaster that some people are painting it. Is that spin control or is that a real thing?
I think it's a little of both. It really depends on what the regents produce. I know that the president has established some task force of faculty across the system to work with the regents to develop policy. Institutions appear to be doing this as well. It's unclear whether each institution will have slightly different policies. One of the beauties of the of